Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of William Jasper. And we're going to be talking about the revolutionary movement that is simply sweeping across America. It's called Occupy Wall Street. Now, there are a lot of young people in this who have legitimate complaints. A lot of them have been through college. They have a $50,000, $75,000, $100,000 debt, and there are no jobs out there. A lot of people have lost their homes. A lot of people have lost their jobs. A lot of people are very unhappy, and they're absolutely right. Now, there is a 1% that's really running things behind the scenes. I honestly believe that some of the people are well-motivated, but this is an organized, orchestrated movement all across America, and these things do not happen spontaneously. Well, our guest this evening, William Jasper, a senior editor of the New American magazine, has been working, and he's done a wonderful story on that, and I asked him to come and talk to us about Occupation Wall Street, and this is not to demean in any way the idealistic young people who are swept up in this movement, and I only wish there was some way that we could utilize this to really help take America back and to educate the people. But William Jasper, give us your opinion of what's really going on.
Well, good evening, Dr. Stan. It's a pleasure being back with you this evening. And I would have to say I agree with everything you said. First of all, there are many reasons, valid reasons, good reasons, for many people, including all of us, you and me, everyone, to be very upset with what has been happening over the past several years with the mortgage meltdown, the implosion of our economy, all of the bailouts that have been going on with all of the vast robbery that many of the big banks and financial institutions have been engaged in, and first of all, packaging all their derivatives fraudulently and selling them to investors and then putting the taxpayers on the hook for it. And Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and the Federal Reserve are right at the center of that. This wouldn't have been possible without them, particularly the Federal Reserve. But of course, Congress can't be left off the hook because they were supposed to be minding the shop, and they weren't, or they were in cahoots with them. And the same with the president, the executive branch, both the Bush administration and the Obama administration, and back even further. So we are not, I am not denying that people have a right, in fact, even a duty, to be very upset. If we are not upset, then that means that we simply wink at vast criminal enterprises that are robbing us of trillions of dollars. It literally is trillions of dollars the Federal Reserve has admitted to loaning out to its friends without any accountability. So there is cause for people to be upset, and millions of Americans are. But what we have seen in the streets with the Occupy Wall Street is, at best, misguided idealism on the part of many of the activists. But the people who are organizing it, it's far worse. It's outright revolutionary socialism, revolutionary communism, revolutionary anarchism. It is statist and collectivist, and many of them are quite openly involved in pushing revolution for decades.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Bill Jasper, go right ahead.
So My involvement in this, Stan, is both.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
It tried to analyze what's going on. It points out that certainly the media is not playing up the fact that many of the leaders of this organization are radical socialists. Now, certainly they demeaned and attacked and vilified and marginalized the Tea Party movement, which was really much larger and had much larger demonstrations. I was talking about the necessity of limiting the power of the federal government. Now, certainly not everybody in the Occupy Wall Street wants to give more power to the government, but the socialist contingent does, and they're the ones that usually get most of the press, and what they want is to increase the power of government so we can stop crony capitalism, so we can do about that corrupt 1%. Well, I'm all against the corrupt 1%. I'm all against crony capitalism. But the solution is never, should never be, by any responsible member of Occupy Wall Street or the Tea Party, to increase the power of the federal government. Because you are basically, when you do that, increasing the power of crony capitalism and of the very people who are financing much of this movement. And this movement is largely financed and organized by people of great wealth who want a controlled opposition. I'm sure there are lots of people out there within the movement who are independent, certainly would oppose more power to the government, and some of them are even Rand Paul supporters. But these are not the people who are coordinating the movement all across America. Go right ahead. And this is being coordinated not only across America, but across the world. And certainly this is not a leaderless movement. It is a movement with well-trained leaders, with a well-trained program aimed at destroying a free society and replacing it with an all-powerful central government. Go right ahead.
Well, that's absolutely right, Stan. And one thing that should be obvious is that when you see a movement like this, where all across the world, across the country and across the world, you see the same tactics, the same slogans, the same placards, the same banners being used, and we're being told, well, this is an organic use of social networking, that this is just being spread by college students and workers who are playing off of what they are seeing over the internet, and they're just duplicating it in one street scene after another. No, that isn't the case. In fact, we see the same kind of thing that we've, certainly you know, and I remember from decades ago, where during the 1940s, 50s, 60s, 70s, whenever a communist cause was being organized, you would see the same demonstrations breaking out in London and Jakarta and Moscow and New York and San Francisco, because the Communist Party, the Soviet Union, had all of its subject parties all around the world that it could orchestrate and command, and it was able to then put on worldwide demonstrations. Well, we see a lot of that same organization today, and I point out in my articles in the New American and the print magazine, as well as the newamerican.com, at Zuccotti Park, the New Republic, I quote, and some of the other people, reporters there, New York Times, I quote, they point, they say, well, these people are idealists, and there's certainly no organization to this. There is no radicalism here. And my gosh, you couldn't step more than a couple feet in any direction in Zuccotti Park without tripping over, literally, signs and bundles of papers from the Communist Party USA, the Socialist Workers Party, the Communist Workers Party, the Communist Party Marxist-Leninist, over a dozen different communist and socialist groups that had hammers and sickles and pictures of Marx and big banners of Che Guevara, the communist clenched fist. Everywhere you look, one has to be completely blind or completely dishonest not to notice these things. Yeah, I mean, it was omnipresent. There was simply big signs, and I photographed it, and we have them on our website and in our magazine. Class warfare. Time for class warfare. Class warfare is here. Karl Marx was right. Support Che. They had pictures of Ho Chi Minh. And this was not only there. I went to Occupy Oakland. I went to Occupy Sacramento. I went to Occupy Los Angeles. I was just down there last week. And it's the same just about in every one of those cases. Added to this is that, as I pointed out in New York City, just right up the street from Zuccotti Park is the Brecht Forum New York Marxist School. That's the actual name of the institution. It has been a center of communist activity for many years, and Angela Davis, Cornel West, Bill Ayers, Todd Gitlin, Francis Fox Bevan, Van Jones, Stanley Aronowitz, these are just a few of the top hardcore Marxists, of course, Bill Ayers being Weather Underground terrorist, Angela Davis being a Communist Party vice presidential candidate and a Black Panther terrorist, and involved in the Marin courthouse shootout 40 years ago. Many of these people are, all of these people I've mentioned are now, of course, professors. And after burning the campuses and rioting on the campuses in the 60s, they came back and got their professorships, and they've been turning out Marxist cadres ever since. And they have been going to, you can watch them on YouTube in my articles on the New American. I provide embedded YouTube videos showing them at in Chicago, in New York, in Oakland, in Washington, D.C., in Los Angeles. They're the ones who are inflaming the crowd, having teach-ins, teaching them how to organize and urging them on in the various activities. And we see the same kind of pattern developing where they know that the vast majority of students who they are appealing to cannot be enticed into carrying out violent, illegal, destructive activity all at once. They know they have to gradually bring them in and get them to take one step at a time. And that's what they are in the process of doing. They know that if they, for instance, get them to leave the Zuccotti Park and go occupy Brooklyn Bridge and shut down the traffic, that eventually the police will have to intervene. And then they know that they can have an incident where it will radicalize more students and bring a certain percentage of them to take even more radical action. And so this is all a calculated process whereby they want to bring about ungovernability, to bring about a situation where the government is then put in a position where it clamps down and you have more civil unrest. And one possibility that some of them are contemplating, of course, is that then when that happens, then President Obama will have an excuse to declare martial law and to put many people into detention because we're in a war on terror, and that can come back to have very serious repercussions for each and every one of us.
I certainly agree with you, and I think that this is the, I think the elite want a controlled opposition because the elite doesn't need the small component of this 1% have been financing communism and socialism going back to the time of the Russian Revolution. It's so hard for people to understand that people of great wealth would be pushing communism and socialism. Why would they want to do that? And I'm sure Bill understands this, but I want to make the point. Basically, we have not a democracy, but a republic. The republic limits the power of government so men can be free. The elite want to undermine that system, centralize power with government in the name of helping people, a centralized power with the federal government in the name of keeping law and order. So if they can basically create a movement out there, a controlled opposition where the structure of society breaks down, the cry is, well, we're just going to have to give up certainly our freedom to maintain, you know, law and order. And so this is a vehicle by which they use other movements like communism and socialism to circumvent the Constitution, to expand the power of government. Or as Richard Gardner of the Council on Foreign Relations said back in 1974 in Foreign Affairs magazine, what we need to do is do an end run around the Constitution. And that's exactly what they're doing and using this technique, and they're really so good at it.
Well, exactly so. And when you look at, again, I'll drop back to the Occupy Wall Street in New York. Here, they were at Zuccotti Park, just a block from Wall Street, and of course that was very symbolic. They were focusing on Wall Street and all of the machinations and things going on there. And they did, and of course right there also is the New York Federal Reserve Bank. And some of the Occupy Wall Street people did go over and occupy, as they said, the front of the Federal Reserve on one of the days. But they did not they have not taken a principal position as Congressman Ron Paul, presidential candidate Ron Paul, and Senator Rand Paul have, calling for the abolition of the Federal Reserve.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. Bill, you go right ahead. You were just talking about Sydney. Ron Paul and his son Rand Paul have taken a principal position advocating the abolition.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Destroying a nation then destroys monetary system. Now, facing, of course, the president supposedly, appoints the head of the Federal Reserve System, but he's told who to appoint. I mean, don't you honestly think our president operates independently? Let me just point out, ladies and gentlemen, that President Obama, who rails against Wall Street and excesses, well, President Obama had to get a new chief of staff from Rahm Emanuel, he left his position of chief of staff, to actually become the mayor of Chicago. Who do you think President Obama got to become his chief of staff for a nation of 300 million people? You know, who would he get? Why, the most capable man. His name was William Daly. He came from J.P. Morgan Chase Bank, one of the six major banks that control the Federal Reserve System and, of course, dictate the policies of our nation. And there's not one person in the thousand who understands who the new chief of staff is. Why isn't there an outcry, certainly from our Occupy Wall Street people, about the fact that certainly a man from J.P. Morgan Chase directs the White House, the chief of staff in the White House. And I think it's not so much that President Obama tells him what to do, but I rather think it's that he tells President Obama what to do. I mean, certainly the largest single contributor to the Obama campaign when he was running in 2008 was Goldman Sachs Bank, one of the six major banks that controls 70% of the financial assets of our nation today. William, go right ahead.
Well, you hit it right on the head there, Stan. President Obama, as with his Republican and Democrat predecessors, is totally beholden to the same Wall Street banks that he is very careful to attack in his when it's campaign time. But just recently, any of your listeners can go online and see, President Obama had one of his big fundraising operations in New York. And where did he get all of his money from? It was all the big movers and shakers of Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citibank, Wells Fargo, etc. All of the same ones who've been making a killing off of the various bailouts that the Fed has been ladling out with our tax dollars. So President Obama is no different from the Republican fat cats. He likes to, he and the Democrats like to picture as being beholden to Wall Street. Both of the major parties, both of the major candidates, candidates for both major parties are completely in the pocket of the same banks, yeah, even while they are attacking them. So, Ron Paul, we've been pointing this out for many years, even before he was running for president. Congressman Ron Paul was calling the shots accurately years ago, decades ago. And while he has been calling for a severance of these ties of Wall Street to all of the political connections in Washington, the Occupy Wall Street folks haven't supported that. They have not. When I have mentioned Ron Paul or the end the Fed or abolish the Fed, or the Tea Party objectives, many of the Tea Party advocates have called for the same thing. I almost get spit on and hissed at by the radical Marxist leftists. Yeah, and on the Occupy Wall Street side, they're not interested in that. They want more government programs, more government bailouts what they say is Main Street, not Wall Street. Well, every time you have a program supposedly to bail out Main Street, anytime you have a government program, whoever is best connected is going to end up getting the most benefit from it. And so when you have a politicized program, and that's what it is when politics is involved, when government is involved, then you're going to have corruption, and those who are the most politically connected are going to take advantage of it. And so when you call for more and more government programs, all you're going to do is further empower those who are already milking our corrupt system.
Hold on, thought. We'll be right back.
Yeah. This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metal. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
Movement are coming from the communist movement, from the radical socialist movement, from the Socialist International. But, of course, all of these are correlated to increase the power of government and the solution to the inequality of our system. Ladies and gentlemen, free men are not equal. Equal men are not free. We have a corrupt system. But it is corrupt because I believe there is a conspiracy there. It centers around the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, the Royal Institute for International Affairs, the Bilderberger Group and the Club of Rome. And these five organizations all tie in together, and certainly related to people of great wealth today who are pushing socialism, because that is the vehicle by which you change the structure of government, centralized authority with government in the name of rectifying the injustices, and then, of course, the very people you oppose have all of the power. And, of course, I do believe they're going to precipitate a civil unrest in this country in the destruction of the value of our currency, so they will be able to justify martial law. This is not imaginary. This is not a boogeyman. This is their plan. Well, before we go on, William, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with us at your website, for the New American website, and get the information that you have written, because it's excellent. I will tell you that William Jasper is certainly one of my favorite writers. How can people get your material?
Well, thank you, Stan. Our website is www.thenewamerican.com. thenewamerican.com, and type in their Occupy Wall Street. If you don't, right when it comes up, if there's not a front page story on Occupy Wall Street there, and we have many stories coming up every day, so it might not be right on there. You just type it in the search engine, and you should pop up all of the recent articles there. Also, in those articles, we have many embedded news video clips, but also on our website, our video website, Liberty News Network. That's libertynewsnetwork.tv. We have many of those videos as well, and some of them include a video that I took at the Occupy Wall Street in New York and in other cities as well. This is, you mentioned something, and I had alluded to it earlier, and that is the civil unrest. Francis Fox Piven, who is a socialist professor, she teaches at City University of New York, and has been one of the main socialist theorists, activists, providing teach-ins for the Occupy Wall Street, has been around for the last 40 years promoting revolution, more than 40 years, since the 1960s, and is infamous for the Cloward Piven strategy, in which she and her late husband, Charles Piven, proposed that the best way to bring about a socialist destruction of America is to just get it all loaded up with as many different welfare programs and get as many people on the dole so we bankrupt the system and push it over the edge. She has been one of the main people promoting the Occupy Wall Street. And it was noteworthy that earlier this year, she was quite upset that here they're having all these riots over in Greece and in Belgium and in Italy and in Spain, and she's saying, well, where's the riots here? Where's the angry people here? Why are we not out in the streets? And this is really indicative, I believe, of many of the leaders who are trying to egg this on. They really do want to see America become ungovernable so that things break down and we end up having martial law, those kind of things, because they know that then that's when free institutions are swept away, and that's what they intend. Whether the a lot of their acolytes down in the street who are just out there, I was there. Many of the young people there are there for the excitement. They are there as one of the guys holding up a sign there at Zuccotti Park said, less drums, less talk, and more sex. So he got tired of all the rest of the blatherskates talking about revolution and whatnot, and was much more upfront about the reason why he was there. That is the reason why a lot of the young people are there, for the music, the drugs, the sex, the excitement, and the real revolutionists know that they have to appeal to all of those different things to get out the requisite numbers of people they want in order to create the riots and the ungovernability. And that is why so many of these professors are actually sending their students out into the streets. They're giving them credit, releasing them from classes, actually having them go out there, and they're actually joining them there in the streets in order to bring this to a critical point where liberty will be eclipsed by government authority.
You know, the thing is, Bill, I think the average American says, well, that could happen in other countries, but it could never happen here. Without stopping and realizing that we have far more socialism in America than they ever had in Russia. Certainly, you can retire. Certainly, retire from many states, the police or fire department at 50, and then get another job, and then get another job. You'd retire with three pensions. You get free health care from a number of sources. Oh, we certainly have a system here in America where it's cold in the wintertime. Well, the government's going to provide you money so you can have fuel oil. We have disability insurance of all sorts. So we have free education. We have subsidized education for college students, especially if you're an illegal immigrant. Don't forget that. Why, of course, you could borrow the money from the federal government, of course, with a loan that you can never go bankrupt on, and you get yourself head over heels in debt, and then when you graduate and you can't get a job, maybe with a $50,000 or $100,000 debt, you're going to feel very much put upon, and yet you took out that loan. You should have known better, but it was free money, and wanted to get an education, and wanted a better life, and certainly the government provides housing for people all across America, health, education, welfare. They're all of these funds, certainly we're spending ourselves into oblivion. People do not stop and think, and we've said this so many times, 42 to 43 cents of every dollar spent in America by government today, by the federal government, has to be borrowed. I mean, do you honestly think that we can simply borrow our way out of debt? Do you think we can spend ourselves into prosperity? The communists and socialists and the people of great wealth behind this whole thing want to destroy this nation. Why? Because then they'll be able to impose martial law. Suddenly the local municipalities won't be able to afford police officers. There'll be increasing crime and chaos. Local municipalities won't be able to afford fire departments, and the cities will burn. People will be losing their homes, they'll be losing their jobs, they'll be losing hope, or they'll be angry, and of course, seeing an increasing level of violence all throughout our country today. Gangs, and they were actually financing the drug cartels, were providing weapons, were providing arms and weapons for the drug cartels in Mexico that are killing people down there. Why would you do something like that? Logically, unless, of course, you wanted those terrible, violent wars in Mexico and Guadalajara just a few days ago. They found 26 people in two or three cars, suddenly gagged and their hands bound behind them with a bullet in their head. I think it was 35 at Veracruz a few weeks ago. And, of course, these are gangs. And, of course, the weapons for it are coming from the United States, thanks to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. And they just say, oh, we've made another mistake. Ladies and gentlemen, these people aren't making mistakes. They know what they're doing. They do not want the American people to understand. They are laying the foundation for the violent destruction of this nation. And, of course, when it happens, well, the only solution is martial law. But don't you worry, we're pulling our troops back from Iraq, so there'll be plenty of military troops here. They're opening up their FEMA camps. We've seen this last week. They're saying, well, we just never know when we might need those FEMA camps, and we're beginning to recruit personnel just in case they know what they're doing. Go right ahead, Bill.
Well, you touched on several things there. One is the reality of what we're facing economically. We passed a couple of months ago the point where now the government is taxing and borrowing and consuming 100% of GDP. That is a frightful thing. So we are already at that point here in the United States. We saw over the past several months, over the past year, the violence that what had erupted in Madison, Wisconsin, and in Ohio and elsewhere, where the government employee unions principally led violent occupations of state capitals and violent demonstrations in various parts of the country, which incidentally, in most of those cases, the media treated them very well, treated them sympathetically, even as they were destroying property and violating other people's rights and disrupting government and engaged in unlawful, provocative, and sometimes violent activity. And I believe those are very much prototypes for what we can expect to see as many other people start employing the same tactics in order to force the taxpayers and government to continue subsidizing them at unsustainable rates. That's what is happening all across Europe. We are seeing violent demonstrations on the part of students, on the part of government employees, transportation employees. When that happens, of course, all of society starts breaking down, and it makes it difficult to get around. It makes it difficult to get your daily food rations. It makes it difficult to get to the hospital or any of the things that people need to be able to do, and that all leads then to ungovernability, and then sets up the process by which the government, federal government, can declare an emergency. And is that far off today? Well, I don't know. It's certainly we could be facing something like that very soon if this continues. And that's why I think it is very important to expose and oppose fraudulent and misguided efforts like the Occupy Wall Street, which are not really aimed at solving the problems we face with regard to Wall Street and undue Wall Street influence, because all of those things that are genuine abuses that need to be fixed are the result of too much government in the first place, of government unconstitutional government involvement in areas of the economy it's not supposed to be involved in. And that opens the door then for those who are unprincipled, who are corrupt, who are after power, to use those opportunities to accrue power for themselves. And so the solution is not to create more government programs, more government intervention, more government involvement in all of those areas, but to remove the government programs and the government avenues that are allowing that manipulation and that corruption in the first place. You simply get government out of those things, and this is where the wheat is separated from the chaff. Those people that are calling for more government control, more government taxation, more government spending to solve our problems are simply going to bring about destruction for this country, not solutions of any kind.
I agree with you totally, and I think that though we're entering a very, very difficult time, and I think that this Occupy Wall Street movement is being carefully coordinated, not only in the United States, but all across the world, because they don't call it Occupy Wall Street overseas, but it's all part and part of the same thing. Because we're seeing all sorts of demonstrations in Greece. We're seeing massive demonstrations in Spain. We're not hearing about these things here in the United States, but basically the structure of government is breaking down in Greece with the austerity programs there, and suddenly the people losing their homes and their pensions, their jobs. I mean, the sense of hopelessness, and certainly people are reacting as you would anticipate they would react, striking out against the government without understanding, of course, that the new premier of Greece just happens by chance to be a member of the Trilateral Commission. The new premier of Italy just happens to be a member of the Trilateral Commission, and this little clique of people intent upon taking control of the world have their agents actually planted in every country.
That's very important to note in these cases, that here, because that is what we are seeing here in this country as well. You already pointed out Daley as being President Obama's chief staff there, J.P. Morgan Chase. Mario Monti, who's just put in as premier of Italy, is a trilateralist, he was appointed by the European Union. So basically we have an unelected, unaccountable government for the European Union that's come in and ordered nations what they're told them what they're going to do. And that's what we have happening here, where the Federal Reserve is determined that it was going to kick in billions of dollars for this European, the EU bailout to the International Monetary Fund, and that the IMF and the Federal Reserve and the European Central Bank are going to, on their own, bail out the euro and reset the structure there in Europe. They have no authority to do that. Congress is it has allowed them to just run roughshod over this.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought.
Of dollars without accountability.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let's take a quick call from Tim, calling from Illinois. Tim, do you have a quick question? We're just about.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
You've got to limit the power of the central authority. And once you do that, of course, in the free enterprise system, a lot of these major corporations would fold. We've got to get away from this idea of why these corporations are too big to fail, or the banks are too big to fail. We've got to let them fail. And who's keep propping them up? Why, the very government that the Occupy Wall Street people want to increase their power. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've got real problems in America. I did read one poll today where Congressman Ron Paul is just 1% behind Gingrich. It's at the end of the upcoming caucus. It's going to be held in Iowa in about 2 or 3 weeks. And he's got to win that. He's got to win in New Hampshire. And Sidney, I told my wife today to send some money to the campaign, and her response was, could we send some more? So, of course, I couldn't disagree with her. And I think that you have to get in and bring out what's really going on. We have a one political party system. Both political parties are controlled by exactly the same people. Herman Cain came from the Council on Foreign Relations, which is a front for the secret society Cecil Rhodes created in 1891. And Newt Gingrich comes from the Council on Foreign Relations, which is a front for the secret society that Cecil Rhodes created in 1941. So Rick Perry is a member, has attended a Bilderberger meeting, and of course that's an organization organized in 1954 by people who are associated with the secret society Cecil Rhodes created back in 1891. And well, we won't get into Mitt Romney, but if you'd like to know a little bit more of that, why, just go up on the internet and type in Kathy O'Brien and Mitt Romney. Kathy O'Brien and Mitt Romney. But I said Mitt Romney says a lot of the right things. Remember, he's a hardline socialist. He introduced a socialized medical system in Massachusetts when he was the governor there. You understand that there's only one candidate out there. And we hope, of course, he's going to do well. We wish him well. But basically, all of the mainline media is attacking him. Interesting to see what happens on Jay Leno this Friday when Ron Paul will be there. I hope and pray that he does well. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you're in a position to help, we'd love to hear from you. We could certainly use your help as we draw close to the end of the year. We would also point out that you need to read our book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or if you can't afford it, you can go up on our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Scroll down to videos. The first video there is the Brotherhood of Darkness. You have to understand the spiritual aspect of this, because we could talk about philosophy, we could talk about these ideas, but unless you understand the spiritual component to everything going on, nothing really makes sense. I mean, why would we have, at the present time, 90,000 combat troops in Afghanistan, 100,000 contractors, 46,000 NATO troops, we're paying the salary of 300,000 Afghan troops, and we're fighting 50 members of Al-Qaeda. We're fighting 50 members of Al-Qaeda. If you don't believe it, go to your search engine and type in Leon Panetta, 50 members Al-Qaeda, Afghanistan, or General James Jones, 50 members Al-Qaeda, Afghanistan, or Steve Croft of CBS, 50 members of Al-Qaeda, Afghanistan. You'll find what I'm telling you is true. Can you explain to me why we are paying the salaries of over 500,000 men to fight 50 members of Al-Qaeda? There has to be another force out there that people don't understand. We're told we're moving all of our combat troops from Iraq. So we're leaving 17,000 people there. Many of them are armed, of course, contractor agents who are trained by our military. And of course, we have our troops stationed in Kuwait so we can move them back into that area. There's going to be another war. Please pray for Radio Liberty. Pray for our leaders. Pray for Congressman Ron Paul, because his life is on the line. I'm sure they'd love to have him have an accident. And please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, of course, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of the man who brought me to the Lord. He is my minister for many years. His name is Glennon Caldwell. Will always be my friend and confidant. And we're going to be talking about a book he's written called Religion and Politics. And certainly there's the old saying, you know, well, you certainly don't want to talk about both religion and politics, the two subjects to avoid. And then, of course, Glennon brings out the point that religion and politics are vitally important. And certainly a reason we're in the trouble we are today is because we're not talking enough about religion and politics. And, of course, then the question arises, well, but we are told in the scriptures to submit to the power of government. And Romans 13 is used over and over again to say we should just go along with whatever our leaders say. And that's exactly what they said in Nazi Germany. If you haven't read the book by Erwin Lutzer, the senior pastor from Moody Bible Church, we carry the book. It's called Hitler's Cross, pointing out how Adolf Hitler and the Nazis used Romans 13 to neutralize the Christians of Nazi Germany, to go along with his rule and the Holocaust. After all, isn't that what it says in the scriptures? Glenda, thank you very much for being with us and for writing the book.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be with you, Stan.
I'm going to let you just pick up and talk about the book, just the idea that, you know, certainly we should be involved in politics, and what's the meaning of Romans 13, and how should we interpret it today? I mean, and as you point out so well, if it says so in the scriptures, we should obey, but just give us your thoughts.
All right, well, Romans 13, I think, is often misunderstood, but the thing that we must do, we must apply the truth that's found in Romans 13 as it applies to this particular country and our own government. And that's, Stan, that's really the key to everything that I have written. As you said, we have been discouraged as Christians, as people of faith, not to discuss politics, that politics are forbidden. But it's interesting to look at the definition of politics as being the art and science of government. And so to tell us then that we are not to be involved in politics is to say that we're not to be involved in any way in relationship to our government, which ultimately is one of the most significant relationships that we actually have, if you follow what I'm saying, Stan.
I do, and I think that basically we have an obligation. The reason that we're in the trouble we are today is because Christians haven't been involved, and we do not have people who fear God in key positions in government, and certainly we're up against conspiratorial forces. I believe, of course, many of them are certainly energized for the dark side. But Christians can be involved. We are the vast majority. I mean, there's only a few people on the other side, but they're organized, and they know how to confuse the Christians. And unfortunately, in my opinion, they've infiltrated our seminaries, they've infiltrated our religious organizations. They're preaching a false gospel. They've changed the music and the message of the church. But one of the major things they've done is to discourage Christians from getting involved and exposing what is really going on. This dark spiritual battle against for the souls of men, and the destruction of Christian civilization.
Yes, well, here's the very reason that I wrote the book, and initially writing a manuscript in about the year 2000, failing to publish, and
Then when I determined to write further this year, I was burdened greatly to write about this because, Stan, I think that we face the most significant, most critical election in the year 2012 that we have ever faced in my 85 years of life, and perhaps even all the way back to at least Abraham Lincoln, whose time was to preserve the Union, preserve our republic, and we're rapidly losing our republic, and it's personally my feeling that we really cannot survive another 4 years without making some changes.
I certainly agree with you, but go ahead with your ideas on how you recorded them.
Okay, well, it was, as you said, the people, Christians, people of faith are not involved. The president of the Wall Builders wrote not too long ago that there were 60 million people who fell in the category of being born again, evangelical Christians. And this doesn't include so many others who claim the name of Christ, but that there were 60 million of those people, and 20 million of them were not even registered to vote. And out of the 40 million who were registered, only 20 million voted in the election in 2008. And so it has become clear that the conditions that prevail in this country now, the secularization of all aspects of society, has come as a result of the inaction and the indifference of people of faith. And so the book was written to try to bring to the people of faith the real truth that the Bible actually teaches that Christians ought to be involved. For example, Romans 13, chapter 1 says that all that we are to obey governing authority, and that all authority comes from God, and that there's no authority other than from God. Now, if that be true, then we need to examine our own country and find where really the sovereign authority in this country is designated to be.
And I think that's what's such an important issue, and we'll be back in just a moment here.
All right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our guest is Glennon Caldwell, and Glennon's just talking about Romans 13. And he says, you know, certainly it says there that we're to be submissive to the government, and so Glennon says, but before we simply have blind acceptance of Romans 13, we have to examine this country, not other countries, but this country, America. Where does the sovereign authority come from? And certainly I believe God was instrumental in creating this government. It was created for a specific purpose. And this was, everyone knew at one time, America was a Christian nation founded by Christians. And as Glennon points out, the Supreme Court has held on a number of occasions that America is a Christian nation. So if that is really true, then how do we get in the mess we are today? Well, of course, you pick up the story there, Glennon.
Okay, well, that gets us right back to the source of authority in this country. And it's very clear that final authority in this country is from the people itself. For example, the preamble to the Constitution says, begins with the words, "We, the people of the United States of America, to form a more perfect union." So it begins citing the purpose of the entire Constitution and lays or gives the authority to, and the source of the authority to, we, the people. Now, that being the case, then that means that as Christians, if we look at Romans chapter 13, and find that all authority comes from God, and that this governing authority thus lies in the hands of the people in this country. And I think we need to hasten to say, well, what how do you apply that to the elected leaders, president, Congress, etc.? And the answer is simply that our form of government makes those positions a delegated authority. We, the people, simply delegate our authority to the elected officials. And they are governing, to govern according to our will, to the will of the people. And if they fail in doing that properly, there is a process for their removal and their replacement. Or if they exercise their authority as designed and proper, then they are re-elected. Consequently, then, if this be true, if all authority comes from God as signified, then if Christians, if people of faith in general, are not involved, then they are guilty of violating the stewardship that has been given to them. They have a responsibility to be involved. And consequently, the result that we find, or the conditions we find ourselves in today, exist because people of faith have permitted it, because they have sat on the hands, because they have followed the lie that Christians were not to talk about faith or religion and politics, both of them significant and relevant and vital for us to discuss.
I think you're absolutely right, and I think it's so vitally important that, and of course we have the other component here, where I believe we have a satanic force working with the highest level of our government, actually, of course, buying the votes of the congressmen. And of course, I think most people acknowledge that we have the finest politicians money can buy in Washington, D.C. We see time and time again that they have different rules, they have different pensions, they have different health care. If they, of course, use the information they get as congressmen to facilitate their stock deals so they can make more money, why do they get away with it? That there's any effort to try to prevent them from utilizing the information they get, certainly to gamble in the stock market. There has been any effort to prevent that has been stopped. But if you or I were to get any inside information and use it to advance our position in the stock market, we'd be investigated and sent to prison. Why is it all right for the congressman, of course, to make a great deal of money by inside information and not for you and I? And then, of course, so many of them will be well rewarded by access to IPOs. IPO is an independent public offering put forward by the major corporations. And, of course, you're going to make an independent public offering. Why, of course, it is ordinarily goes on the market, let's say, one day at a specific price. But if you let your favorite congressman buy it the day before it goes on the market and it skyrockets the following day, he could double or triple his money. I said, hey, it's simply in one day. And this happened with Thomas Foley. We have Tom Foley when he was, of course, the Speaker of the House. I think he made 30 investments and 29 of them he made money on and made hundreds of thousands of dollars. It was simply every year because he was given access by the major corporations for the IPOs. That's crooked. But they said, well, that's free enterprise system. He just invested his money. Yeah, but he had inside information. You and I don't get in on IPOs. Oh, well, but he's the Speaker of the House. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, we tolerate this corruption. And where is the outcry from the people? Why, we're too busy worried about who's going to win the Super Bowl. Go right ahead, Glennon.
Well, here's the very reason or a large reason the circumstances are corrupt, because we the people permit it. We sit by comfortably, not concerned. I've been so deeply concerned over a great many years because the majority of pastors from our pulpits emphasize that we're not to be involved with politics. I remember when I first, those briefly before I was called into the ministry, I was part of a denomination, and their statement of faith said that we believe in the separation of church and state. Well, that statement came from the past, And at one time, the meaning would have been clear, but the meaning was lost. And so it came to be interpreted that Christians were not to be involved in politics, that pastors couldn't comment on anything political or governmental. And this goes back to the definition of politics. You know, that we're told that politics are dirty. Well, no, politicians are often dirty. But even there are and can be politicians who are good and honest, but they all carry the name, and so they're labeled politics as dirty, and Christians must not dirty their hands. And as you said, there are all those problems of corruption, and our form of government is being perverted, and authority is taken out of our hands, because we sit in indifference and continue to believe a lie.
And, of course, we've allowed them to take any mention of God or the Ten Commandments or prayer out of our schools. And then we see children shooting children here in our district recently. There is certainly two 14-year-olds within the last week who were gunned down by members of a rival gang. Two 14-year-old kids. Why does this happen? Well, we are not allowed to mention in school, thou shalt not kill, in the Ten Commandments. We're not, something we find, certainly, young boys are raping, 16-year-old boys raping girls at night point. And, of course, we're not supposed to talk about adultery, fornication. After all, we do not teach our students that there are rules that you have to live by. And then we wonder why the structure of our society is breaking down. When you took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments and certainly worship of God and out of our schools, we were laying ourselves open for where we are today. And this was done intentionally, not accidentally. The wall of separation between church and state is not mentioned in the Bill of Rights. It's not mentioned in the Constitution. It was contrived by a group of members of a secret society, the Masons, who control the American Supreme Court in majorities of 5-4 to 8-1 from 1941 to 1971, and nobody is going to tell you that. You find this in my book, the references for it, and you can check it out yourselves. How could you keep something like that a secret when there are secret societies working at the highest echelon of our courts? Why, you control the media. And you control the media, you determine largely what the American people think. And there is no wall of separation between church and state, is there, Glennon?
Oh, no, no. And let me just go back a little bit, and then a little later on we'll talk about the separation of church and state that I cover rather thoroughly in my book. But first of all, perhaps it's good that we really carefully establish the scriptural ground that people of God can and should be active in politics throughout the Old Testament. Every prophet at one time or another denounced the excesses of government and consequently was involved. One would have to say that even Moses, the greatest figure of the Old Testament, was active as he confronted Pharaoh in Egypt. You find Joseph involved in government in Egypt. You find all the prophets, for example, Amos would say, woe to those who go down to Egypt. And he would talk about the excesses of Samaria, the center of government. So everywhere in the Old Testament, the reference is clearly that people of God were concerned and involved in relation to government.
And this is really a beautifully done book, Glennon Culwell's book, Religion and Politics. He essentially gives you all the scriptural references for how the prophets, the great men of the Bible, were all in one or another way involved in politics. And the fact that they're preaching a false gospel in our churches today to discourage the Christians from being involved, why are they doing that? Because they want to destroy both our nation and our religion. We'll be back in just a moment with Glennon Culwell. Glennon, you go right ahead.
Okay.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I was working on the historical background of the Christian view or the religious view toward government and in regard to our country. And I was going to quote from the Magna Carta from the very beginning. Those first individuals who came to the country, they entered into an agreement, they entered into what they called a covenant, and they said to, in part, to combine ourselves together into a civil society politic. So from the very beginning, our country started on that particular basis that they would combine and be involved in a body politic.
And basically, of course, the Magna Carta was signed in 1215 when, of course, the nobleman took Sir John out of the woods and said, you sign this or we're going to take off your head. So he signed it. But basically, it established the rule of law. And the rule of law was, of course, to be founded on God's word. It was always anticipated because even in the 1215, why, of course, England was a Christian nation. And, of course, as time went by, of course, the foundation, the Christian foundation of society was absolutely necessary because you have to have rules and regulations. And if you look to men to make up rules and regulations, they'll change. I mean, after all, if you have a king who's an adulterer, he'll just change the rules to allow him to do whatever he wants to. But that doesn't mean that adultery is all right. If you suddenly have an unscrupulous king, he wants to kill people, why that he's the king? Doesn't he have the authority? No, he doesn't. Because the king is answerable to God. We're all answerable to God. And we're all answerable to the same God. Go right ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, I made a poor choice of words. I said Mayflower Magna Carta, and I led you astray there. It should have been the Mayflower Covenant, and that was made by the pilgrims aboard the ship when they came to this country, when they agreed together in a larger document saying that they had the covenant to combine ourselves together into a civil body politic. So I just quoted that to emphasize that the very first people who came to be involved in governing themselves, and as people of faith, they took that as a responsibility. And then all of our founders, you find our first president at one point saying, I think this was in October or November of 1879, he said that it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful to His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. It's just a statement in part. But all of our founding fathers spoke often about their faith, about God. Perhaps Thomas Jefferson may have been the least religious, perhaps identified as a deist, but even he talked about the necessity of having God and government and the importance of the Christian faith, and authoring the Declaration of Independence made it clear that our Creator, God, endows us with certain unalienable rights. And so we find a clear evidence, a clear foundation, not only biblically but also historically, that this is a Christian nation found upon faith. And we find further that there is a responsibility for Christians to be involved.
Well, I think that really I've studied Jefferson very thoroughly. Certainly, Thomas Jefferson believed in Jesus Christ. He did not necessarily, though, believe he was divine. He thought his teachings were wonderful. He even talked about, you know, as he used to at one time be looking, of course, into the mysteries, but as he grew older, he decided that this led no place, and he wanted to lay his head on the soft pillow which Christ had prepared. But he could never accept the divinity of Christ. But it wasn't his teachings he rejected. He considered himself a Christian, mm-hmm. even though perhaps we would not, because we believe, of course, in the divinity of Jesus Christ. But all of our founding fathers, except perhaps for Benjamin Franklin, certainly were Christians of one form or another, Thomas Paine excluded. But even certainly Benjamin Franklin realized the importance of Christianity and the foundation of our nation.
Oh, yes, Franklin.
While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so.
Glenn, you go right ahead.
Yeah, I just had started to say that Benjamin Franklin led a rather profligate life and didn't live as a man of faith, but he gave lip service to faith and to the Christian faith. Anyway, we are called to remember that in the Continental Congress, or when they were addressed. reading one of the documents, and I don't remember just exactly the circumstance, but he arose when there was a great deal of dissension to call the people to pray and emphasize that a nation to survive must be built upon the faith.
That's one of my favorite quotations. I've lived a long time, sir, he said. I've lived a long time, sir, and the longer I live, the more convinced I am of this fact, and that is that God rules in the affairs of men. Oh. And if a sparrow cannot fall without his knowledge, can a great republic be reared without his consent? And then it was at that point he asked for the meetings of the Continental Congress to begin with prayer. And certainly that is one of the most famous quotations, and I often use that. I don't necessarily attribute it to Benjamin Franklin, but he was the one who said, you know, I've lived a long time, sir, but the longer I live, the more convinced I am of this fact, that God rules in the affairs of men. And it is so true. Go right ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's a beautiful quote, and you have it memorized, and I should have memorized that. But it's so clear, the foundation of this country, and I think then that really brings us to a consideration you were talking earlier about the misconception involved in the wall of separation. And the wall of separation really was never heard all other than Thomas Jefferson simply mentioned a wall of separation as he spoke to a group of Baptists assuring
hold them. Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, whether it's somebody talking about this myth of the wall of separation, it was never part of our Constitution. It was mentioned in a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to the ministers in Danbury, Connecticut, who were concerned because, of course, he was not an evangelical Christian, and that they were going somehow to have the government regulate suddenly religion. And Thomas Jefferson wrote back and said, no, of course not. The wall of separation between church and state was to keep the government from interfering in the church, not to keep the church from interfering with government or the ideas of Christianity to be certainly dealt with by government. In fact, one of the things Thomas Jefferson did was to authorize the printing of several thousand Bibles to be distributed to the Indians. So, and it was immediately after he wrote, of course, that letter on the wall of separation between church and state. Nothing was further from his mind to the minds of the founding fathers. But it wasn't the people who wanted to destroy this nation knew that they had to be able to take God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our society. And when you understand that, what's going on today, all begins to make sense. Lennon, before we go on, do you have a website where you talk about your book or any of these thoughts are recorded?
Pardon me, for some reason...
Do you have a website where that you'd like to send people to? Internet website. But if you don't, certainly the book is called Religion and Politics. It's by Glennon Caldwell. It's Religion and Politics. We are going to carry that through Radio Liberty. We think it's a very, very important book. In fact, we have a dearth of books on this. We do carry one short book on this. But Glennon has done a magnificent job, and we recommend his book to you very, very strongly. Religion and Politics, it's available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. Go right ahead, Glennon.
Yes, sir. I think that is adequate since you have agreed to carry the book, and I appreciate that very greatly. If anyone would like to contact me and ask any questions or be concerned further, they could email me. I have no website, but they could email me using my first name, G-L-E-N-N-O-N. C for my last name, Glennon C, at sbcglobal.net.
Give that one more time. You always have to give your address twice.
That's Glennon C, G-L-E-N-N-O-N-C, at sbcglobal.net. iodine.net. I would enjoy hearing from anyone and would be willing to communicate anything about anything I've said or about something that is of concern.
Okay, fine. Go right ahead.
Okay. I'd sorry to mention you had talked about the wall of separation, and it would be fitting for us to talk about the First Amendment and the basis for what they call the separation of church and state. I deal with that quite thoroughly in my book, but it's interesting to look at the meaning of that and the background of what the authors intended. It said, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. And to understand that, we need to know the historical setting in which that was written.
And I was just speaking now, of course, of the phrase from the First Amendment of the Constitution. I think those are the so-called Bill of Rights were added to the Constitution about 1789. It was one of the first things that happened after, of course, the Constitution was ratified and Congress had its first meetings. And, of course, they then set up a committee to add a Bill of Rights and the First Amendment. Congress will make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Those are the opening words of our Bill of Rights. Go right ahead, Glenn.
Yes. Well, and that was written from a background. The people who came to this country and those early people in developing our founding documents came from a background in Europe where they had state churches, churches dominated by the state, states dominated by the church. One authorized church and people who were not a part of that particular church and practiced something else were persecuted greatly, and those first people came to this country for the freedom to practice, to exercise their faith. So there was never a tension, an intention to separate the people from God or to deny any mention of God by that statement. This is simply an effort to secularize our society and a perversion of that statement. But it's interesting that they failed to move ahead, as you read or stated, that they would not prohibit the free exercise thereof. And so when they refused to permit prayer in school or the mention of God in school, forbid putting maybe the Ten Commandments on the courthouse lawn or whatever the case may be, or to mention God in government, this was never intended. And to forbid it is a violation of that last statement.
And because basically the way they did this, so this was written in 1789. It really wasn't that until 1962 they were able to twist the meaning. And they said, well, of course, what we have to do is take the First Amendment, that we have to add the 14th Amendment, and basically repeatedly, why in the past, why people had said the 14th Amendment cannot be affiliated with, of course, you know, the First Amendment is talking about an entirely different subject. But, you know, the figures don't lie, liars figure. Politicians don't lie. They simply distort things. They can take a word here and a word there and make them a whole new doctrine. And the new doctrine was intent upon destroying the religious foundation of our nation. So they took the First Amendment that dealt with religion, and they combined it with the 14th Amendment that dealt with abolition of slavery and to restrict certainly the states from under any auspices having individual states from having slavery. And then they simply said, well, it was always meant to the wall of separation to take God out of our schools and prayer out of our schools. And this is because the Masons control the Supreme Court and they worship a different God. And there are these powerful spiritual forces that once, you know, suddenly we had suddenly had prayer in our schools for suddenly almost at that time 200 years, suddenly 180 years, and America was a Christian nation. These wicked, wicked people on the Supreme Court, they were wicked then, we have some wicked people there today, wanted to destroy the Christian foundation of our nation, and they got away with it because the ministers of this country refused to speak out. Then, in 1962, and they're refusing to speak out today, except for courageous people like the man who led me to the Lord we have with us tonight, Glennon Caldwell. Glennon, go right ahead.
Yeah, okay. Well, Stan, isn't it interesting that they take the First Amendment that doesn't permit the free prohibiting the free exercise of religion, and then they limit that free exercise by saying there are certain places it couldn't be exercised, any part of it, anything related to it, in anything that is involved in government. And of course that position is to prohibit the free exercise. If it's a free exercise, that means it's free to be exercised wherever. And the amazing thing is that you go ahead with the First Amendment, the Bill of Rights, and it talks of the freedom of speech, and they interpret that the freedom of speech is absolute. There can be no limit on the speech. It even applies to burning the flag and whatever expressions. And again, the Constitution talks about, the First Amendment talks about the freedom of the press, and that freedom is absolute. But isn't it amazing that the same section of our Constitution that gives the freedom of speech and the freedom of press, which freedoms are absolute, then they turn to the free exercise of religion and limit that. You see the rank inconsistency of what has happened.
What you see is not inconsistent if you understand this conspiracy against God. Of course they're going to limit expression of religion because these people hate God. They worship a different God. And the fact that there are few Americans who even understand what I've said about a secret society controlling our Supreme Court and organized, orchestrated efforts to destroy the Christian foundation of this once great Christian nation has brought us to the tragic state where we are today, where crime is rampant and sexual immorality is rampant, and when America's foreign policy is based upon whether a nation discriminates against homosexuality, and if any way they curtail the rights of homosexuals and the practice of their perversion, like is masochism and sadism, which is a very important part of the homosexual lifestyle. If that is limited, why, we will not give them any foreign aid. We will restrict our foreign aid to countries, of course, that can allow full and free expression of homosexuality. But, of course, if they want to discriminate against Christians in other countries, we don't cut off their foreign aid. It's only, of course, if they're going to discriminate against homosexuals. What sort of madness is this? Go right ahead, Glennon.
Yes. Okay. Well, after sort of hashing up the First Amendment a little bit, might be profitable. I deal rather extensively with what is involved when the Constitution says in the preamble that we, the people, will, as it says, to establish a new, more perfect union, do certain things. And in my book, I deal with some of those things. Actually, I deal with all of the things that are enumerated in the preamble For example, it says that we are to establish justice. And so I take the approach that if we the people possess the authority that is God-given, going back to Romans chapter 13, then these are some things in which people of faith ought to be involved. And one of the things, first thing mentioned, is to establish justice. And it's interesting how that would be applied, as you've talked a great deal about the judiciary, and we seem to respect the Supreme Court as though it cannot make a mistake. And I think that if we the people are going to exercise authority, there needs to be justices who hew completely to the Constitution. And you think about the issue of property rights, of law and order. Our society is becoming more and more lawless every day. I think of reading in the newspaper just this morning about the Occupy Wall Street forces, supposed so-called, blocking the... the port in Oakland, keeping truck drivers and farmers and different ones from earning a livelihood. And those things and the things they're doing are obviously of a violation of the law. And yet they are condoned while good, honest, believing people are, on the other hand, limited very strictly. And just going ahead a little bit, one of the purposes we're told in the preamble is to protect domestic tranquility. And you were mentioning homosexuality. Well, this is domestic tranquility deals with the family and doesn't... permit the Supreme Court or the laws of our land to change the family and change the definition of marriage and permit same-sex marriage. In other words, we find that if we look at a combination of what we're taught in Romans chapter 13 along with the Constitution of the United States, we see how far short people of faith are really falling, and they're failing to exercise their responsibility in relation to politics and government.
I agree with you, Lennon, and this is the reason we're in the trouble we are today, is because we've allowed people to define the Constitution to things it doesn't say. This is the basis of our sovereignty. This is the basis of our freedom. And the whole purpose of the Constitution was to limit the power of the federal government. There were only 18 things the federal government was to do, was to give us a stable currency. Has it given us a stable currency? Absolutely not. It's to defend our borders. Well, that's fine, but then if we're defending our borders, why do we have troops over in Afghanistan, Iraq? Are we defending our borders over there? Of course we're not, because we're using our military to bring about this one-world government, and crush administrations don't want to go along with it. They use our military, our financial power, to bring about a world government. I believe, of course, we should defend America. But our leaders' loyalty is not to America, but to the globalist dream. And on, if we just read the 18 things that are listed in Section 8 of Article 1, why 90% of what's going on in Washington, D.C. Would be considered unconstitutional. Go right ahead, Glenn.
Yes. Well, anyway, as we have been discussing my book, I have hope that it could have wide distribution during this period of time and up to the election in 2012.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. But this is an important book, ladies and gentlemen. course we will. Glennon, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Okay, well, Sam, it's been a delight talking with you.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. Many decades, these great United States
government comes from and why we need to be involved. You need to get read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to find out why the Supreme Court took God and prayer out of our schools, because it has nothing to do with the Constitution, but a cult agenda to destroy the religious foundation of America. The book, Religion and Politics, by Glennon Caldwell, and my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, are both available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Now, well, we have other information, but I think that this is the best book I've read on religion and politics. We do have, of course, the founding documents put together by Pastor Chuck Baldwin. And, of course, this is all of the founding documents from the Mayflower Cut, packed right up to the Gettysburg Address. That's available as well by calling 1-800-544-8927 and get the founding documents and read them and reread them. It is your responsibility to understand what's going on today and then to help us get the information out. If you want to understand the forces aligned against freedom, of course, you have to understand the occult organizations out there, and there are literally millions of people here in the United States affiliated with them. You need to get the 4-CD set, The Aquarian Conspiracy, my interviews with Constance Cumby. You need to get the DVD that talk Constance gave when she was here. It's called The Emergence. You need to get Constance's book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. That's, once again, The Aquarian Conspiracy 4-CD set, the DVD, The Emergence, and the book, Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. They're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. If you want to get, of course, into the satanic crimes that take place, you need to get the book. We carry it on satanic crimes. And we have a 4-tape set on satanic crimes. Do you want to understand the supernatural forces out there? We have a 4-CD set on the supernatural. And we have the book that goes with that. It's called, it's written by Joanna Michelson. It's called The Beautiful Side of Evil. The Beautiful Side of Evil. Joanna Michelson was a medium. She saw hundreds of miracles. She witnessed them personally. Now, I know Joanna personally. She's been our guest many times. And of course, I have no question that what she's telling us is absolutely true. But unfortunately, those miracles, medical miracles she witnessed, were demonic in their origin. You must understand we're involved in a spiritual battle being played out on the political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. So remember, of course, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Religion and Politics by Glennon Culwell, vitally important. My book, Brotherhood of Darkness, vitally important. The founding documents by Chuck Baldwin, there are about 60 of them, I believe, anyway, that go from the Mayflower Compact up to the Gettysburg Address. And then, of course, you need to get the book on satanic crimes and the 4-CD set that goes with that, on the supernatural 4-CD set, and then the book, The Beautiful Side of Evil. Again, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com, and we ask you then to pray for Congressman Ron Paul, because believe me, these demonic forces would love to have him meet with an untoward accident right now. The latest poll shows he's 1% behind Gingrich there in the race for the Iowa caucus. Support him and pray for his safety. Please pray for Alex Jones and for Joyce Riley, but also pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. Thank you for joining us today. It is Wednesday, 14 December 2011. I guarantee you, you are in the right place. That is, if you like breaking news. Information not heard, to my knowledge, anywhere else. Not being circulated in the communities outside certain businesses. That's all I'm going to tell you on the second hour of this program today. But you're going to want to hear one of the greatest contaminations and